It's 9:30, straight down, if you have a clock with hands on it. And that means it's time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I'm here with my ever fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning.
Feeling extra fabulous.
Extra fabulous, which I think is really pretty remarkable on a Monday morning.
Yeah, like my dress size, extra medium. Good morning, Marianne Myers.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm sort of even weeks on, months on, maybe I am still missing your apron.
Oh, okay. I should start wearing it again.
Well, I don't know. It's just, you know, part of the thing. It's like your game face.
Part of our gig.
Yeah, right. It's your game apron. I don't know. I mean, we realize that you're retired.
Yes, yes. No more bake sales. Yay!
So, what's new? I haven't talked to you since last Food Talk.
Well, let's see. I have been cooking a little bit.
Yeah.
Making a lot of salmon, grilling it. I know you wouldn't think January is grilling salmon time, but for some reason it just kind of took. I've been marinating it kind of teriyaki style, you know, and grilling it, and I like it. Do you take the bones out of your salmon before you grill it, your fillets?
I don't.
Okay. I do. I got a pair of kitchen tweezers, you know,
yeah.
And I just run along that line. You know how you can feel them all and pull
yep.
them out? And Dale saw me doing that, and he's like, I have never done that in my life. in a tone of, what the heck's the matter with you?
I go with the treasure hunt while you're yeah. eating it sort of method. But yeah, I know. And I used to have a little pair of needle nose pliers in the kitchen. I don't think I even have them anymore because yeah. I'm lazy about that. But it is really nice.
I have kitchen tweezers because my cooking's so fancy.
Oh, are you tweezing
no,
microgreens?
I tweeze my foam. Just kidding.
Cripes. Well, yeah, I did salmon recently too. It's just lovely. But
yeah.
I haven't marinated it before, ever.
Really?
In my whole salmon cooking life. Never.
Well, what the salmon heck?
I guess I better get busy. Sounds really good.
So this
good.
Is, you know, I mean, just like teriyaki, I guess just randomly Asian flavored. So what do I use? Soy sauce, ginger, garlic, sesame oil, brown sugar, and a little bit of rice wine vinegar. And I put it in a little quarter pan, you know?
Yeah.
Just whisk it around and then just put the salmon upside down in it for like half an hour in the
yeah.
fridge, an hour.
I wouldn't think
yeah.
it would take too long.
Uh-uh. I think it's good, but it's just something different, you know?
Yeah, it sounds wonderful with rice. Yum. I might be hungry. Well, and there has been some beautiful salmon available.
Yeah, sockeye especially
yeah.
is what I've been cooking.
Yep, sockeye. Mm. We're lucky. We're really lucky. What?
Well, I had kind of an interesting spice experience.
Yes.
Yes, I brought them in for you to sniff.
And I loved it. In fact, three of us were doing the sniff test in the
spice
lobby.
Spice sniffing.
Morning. Yes.
So I was on the internet. You know, I have a lot of imaginary friends on there. And there was, you know, at the end of the year, you know, they always have those lists. And one of them was from, I think, Bon Appetit. It was like the 26 things from 2018. You
oh,
need
right.
to try those kind of things.
Right.
And two of them were from some spice company I'd never heard of. And I was, pessimistic because, you know, all those kind of like hipster fancy places that have two noun names with a plus sign between them,
yeah.
you know,
yes.
like tractor and debutante or oyster and fetus. And you're just like, what? Why? No, no. Anyway, something like that. But two of the things, there was nothing else that two of the things on the list had the same source. So I was looking at what they had to say, and they said that they are a company that makes single origin spices. So that's not anything I'd really ever, maybe I'd heard of it, but maybe never paid attention to, but I don't think I've heard of it before.
I don't think I have had ever.
No. So what it is they figure out, so they're not getting like a bunch of ginger from a country. Or a bunch of ginger from a wholesaler or something like that. What they're doing is they are going to a farm in a country that is known for what it produces and then maybe buying the whole crop or buying a significant amount of it, but it is coming just from one place where they know exactly how it's going to behave and what it's going to taste like. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Anyway, so I got a shipment and I am gobsmacked at how different it is than the stuff that's available in jars, bulk, spice stores. It's really something. And so if that one single flavor that they have is something that resonates with you, the difference is really remarkable. I was really, really...
It is stunning to, and we didn't even taste it.
No, but you know, smell, you know, it indicates taste.
And,
yeah.
And it isn't surprising that from a bulk section at a supermarket that the ginger you get doesn't smell like anything. And in fact, it didn't smell like anything.
No, and it's new.
Yeah, no, it had absolutely no, you wouldn't have known.
Yeah, because I didn't even buy ginger. What happened is I bought, I think, maybe 8 things, and then they emailed me, oops, you know, we ran out of time. Is there something else you'd like? I'm like, oh, okay, ginger, because I knew I just bought ginger from the bulk section, you know?
Yeah.
And, oh, it's just so different. And they said on their website that their ginger was very spicy, and that appeals to me, you know, but, oh, man, it's just so good. So that's a new thing, and I think it's a good thing, single origin spices where they are completely controlling what they are selling to you, the quality of it and the flavor of it. And I've been thinking about flavor lately because I've had a couple of just really disappointing and expensive restaurant experiences where the food is really muddled, flavored, and heavy-handed on the spices. And I don't hate spices at all. I'm not anti-spice. But do you know what I mean? Where there's just too much going on and it doesn't work together?
I think that, yes. And I often think that there's too much going on visually and flavor-wise.
Yeah.
And I always think back to when I used to work with the fabulous Uriah Halsey he was cooking at Columbia Cafe. And he used to say, get the best thing you can get and then try not to muck it up.
Yeah.
And I think that is a better, more reliable philosophy.
I mean, I in the olden days, I remember just sitting at the Columbia Cafe and having people, you know, come in and they stick their head in the door and they're like, is Uriah cooking? I mean, that's the first thing they say before they even come in. He has such finesse, you know?
He has perfect pitch.
Yeah.
In terms of,
But palate. The thing that he does is he knows how to cook something like the method that you should use. There's so many different methods to cook a certain thing to really bring out the best in the thing that he bought is the best. And then, I mean, he will enhance it with spices, but he isn't like just creating this giant mud pile of, you know, I mean, I had chili verde the other day and it wasn't even recognizable as chili verde. It was just a giant handful after handful after handful of random spice. This will be our signature, you know? Well, no. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I tend to be more of a minimalist. If I have a choice, I would rather not. I will forego the architectural quality in favor of the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And also, in my mind, one of your signature phrases is, I don't butter my cheese. Well, I don't want crab on top of my salmon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like both of those things, but don't, stop already.
Yeah, yeah, stop already. That should be, we're going to change the name of this show to Stop Already.
We're getting some new aprons. I feel it coming off.
Stop already. I always wanted an apron that had like a little tiny like phrase across the top that says, and in the distance, sirens. That would be the best apron.
I see a whole line of kitchenware.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
With flames.
Yes. And just think what we could do with mitts.
But you know, I mean, how Andy Catalano has such finesse. And,
yes.
And you've said before on the show, because of his meal kits, that you are just astounded at how much you can do with good ingredients, salt, pepper, good olive oil, and lemon juice. And it's true, because you're cooking something in the method that best displays its flavors and just really enhancing its flavor a little bit. Nothing enhances flavor more than salt.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And very often, I think there isn't quite enough.
No.
Oh, it's a tricky business, isn't
it? It is.
Because you can tip over into too much with just a very few grains.
Yeah.
It's
and
crazy.
I remember my grandma, such an excellent cook, but as she got into her 90s, man, her tongue was dead. And, and to taste that salt, you're like...
I think it needs more salt and a big pitcher of drinking water.
Grandma, settle down.
Oh, my gosh. It's that excess water retention then thing. Oh, my gosh. Well, I love the idea of the... I never heard of single origin spices. No, I got to admit it. But when we did the sniff test with three different kinds of ginger, the difference was completely stunning.
Yeah, yeah, really, really something.
Yes. Absolutely. So, and I don't know, our local spice shop might even have some single origin spices. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
What I was saying when we were doing the sniff test is what I love about a local spice shop is that you can buy a very small amount.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're testing new spices that you've never had before, you don't commit to a jar.
Yeah.
And also you can get a small amount often, and then it'll be fresher than the bulk bin at the supermarket, which just doesn't roll over very fast.
Yeah.
I don't think it turns very fast. Yeah. So, yeah, interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Just something to add to the repertoire.
You said you use a lot of ginger. And now you're going to have to because you have three
ginger,
times.
But I just really like it. I you know that I grind up fresh ginger in the their food processor.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't peel it. I learned that from I think the Food Network. There's some lady, Artie, I think her name was, she's Indian, and
Indian,
she said
yes.
You don't have to peel it. And I'm like, oh, thank you.
Because
so just wash
pain.
It real good, break it apart so there's none in its little armpits, no dirt in its little armpits, and then just toss it in the food processor, grind it up until it's not a paste, but it's minced. And I like you can grate ginger on the box grater, but you know how you kind of get those fibers?
You know? It's almost inescapable.
Yeah, and you don't when you do it in the food processor. It's truly minced. And so then I just put that pretty flat in quart bags so that it's thin enough that I can just, it's not a big brick, you know, I can just break off pieces when I need it. And I just use a lot of ginger in cooking soup too. I love just chicken broth with cilantro, green onions, ginger, and garlic, and then just anything in it that you have, you know. But that's just a really nice Asian broth, I think.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yummy.
A lot.
Even just a cup of that on a cold day.
Yeah, like no,
nothing like chicken soup. What are you going to cook for dinner?
I am making Irish stew.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I don't think I have ever made it before. I went to the store and I got myself a bottle of Guinness, and that's what I'm going to try. I just felt like trying it. And a lot of times in the past, you know, I always just buy stew meat. It's easy. It's cut up, you know, when you're going to do something like that. But I really like Chuck roasts.
Yeah.
I got a friend named Chuck too. I like you too, Chuck.
I got a couple of them, and yes, they're all nice.
Yes. But I just really like how that braises up. And so I just bought a Chuck roast and I'm going to cut it up. I think it's worth cutting up because recently I bought a couple of cross rib roasts and they're just so dry when you braise them. I don't like them. And so I just think Chuck is a lot better and I want it to turn out good. So that's what
I did. Yeah. So what makes it Irish?
I think the Guinness.
Okay.
Because I think it's basically pot roast with Guinness.
Yeah, it seems very pot roasty. Yeah.
But maybe I should have read the whole recipe.
and there's where we always say, read the recipe before you start. And do we? No, not necessarily. I scan the ingredients.
Yeah.
I scan them. And then later I run to the store in the middle. Anyway, that's just how it works, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's get real. Honestly real. Sometimes we do that. And sometimes if I've never made it before, I actually will bother to read the recipe first. But yeah.
Well, I think I did when I was making a run to the store and then everything fell in my brain because I was thinking of store things and I had everything except the chuck roast and the beer. So what are you making for dinner?
I'm making soft polenta with a mushroom ragu because I got one of the, well, first of all, because I've been really craving polenta.
Okay.
And secondly, because I'm cooking for some lovely friends who just had a baby. And I think that I can make this meal and get it to them while it's still nice and hot.
Okay.
So, creamy polenta with some Gruyere and a whole lot of Parmesan stirred in and a little garlic maybe. Maybe not because I'm sending it with a Caesar salad and that is enough garlic to protect us from every sort of disease and monster.
And vampire,
ever. And I promised the wonderful Norma Hernandez that I would make extra Caesar dressing because she loves real Caesar dressing with the anchovy fillets and the too much garlic in it. So it's a great sandwich spread and all kind of stuff.
Good thing to have on hand.
And I got one of these wonderful mushroom, the little melange of all kinds of mushrooms.
Yeah. I love those
too.
So much flavor.
Yeah. So I think that with a little butter, a little brandy, and maybe some fresh thyme, and put that on top of polenta. It just sounds
really delicious.
Really delicious.
Yeah.
I want to take a quick minute to remind everybody that they're listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, and that Food Talk is a co-production of North Coast Food Web and Coast Community Radio.
You know what my friend Jerry pointed out to me, and I really never thought of before, and this is going back to that Irish stew, that beef doesn't freeze well.
Really?
See, now, to me, it does, because, but I think she's right, because it doesn't, if you package it right, you know, it doesn't get freezer burn, but when you thaw it, and she's totally right, it loses a lot of moisture.
It loses a ton of moisture. Yeah. You've got to put it on in a shallow bowl or something, because it's going to...
Yeah, or, you know, it's all wrapped up, but I generally thaw really slowly in the refrigerator, and that helps, but she's right. It always does. It's not a freezer burn issue like it is with chicken or turkey or even pork, you know. It's that it loses moisture, and that was, I don't know why, at the ripe old age of 1 million, a revelation to me. But I think she's right, and so I don't think I'm going to freeze as much beef. I was thinking about that with the Irish stew, because I thought, oh, should I thaw something for this? And I thought, and that's how we started talking about it.
Uh huh. Well, I guess I don't buy tons of. I don't think I have any beef in the freezer.
Okay.
But I do know people that buy like sides of beef.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then have that all year round or all winter. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that's, well, I guess it would be true also of ground beef.
I think it's true of all of it, because what happened was I had a beef tenderloin, and that's, you know, a good cut of beef, and people came over unexpected, so I thawed it in the sink, thawed it fast, you know, it was Cryovac, thawed it fast, and man, I grilled it, which is normally good, and it wasn't. And Jerry said, well, yeah, it's because you thawed it fast and it's beef and it loses all its moisture. And she's totally right. So that was a revelation
to
me.
Well, thanks, Jerry. And thanks for not mentioning it up front.
When I was 25. And I cooked shrimp a new way.
What?
Yes. So
define shrimp, like prawn shrimp or pink shrimp.
Shrimp, like, you know, you buy the count, you know, like 21. This was like 31 to 40.
Yeah.
Like shrimp with a tail on, frozen. But I thawed it. So I really like Ina Garten. And I have her recipes always turn out for me. And I'm sure everybody has cookbooks. And there's other authors, too, but has cookbook authors that resonate with them. And
she's just reliable.
Yeah.
So if you see something in one of her books that sounds good, it will be good.
It'll
if
turn
you follow
out,
the
yeah,
recipe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She really tests her recipes, and she's not trying to be all different and avant-garde. She's just really trying to cook good things. So
you know what? I hate recipe testing. As I detour this conversation briefly, but I it's just so tedious, and I realize that the reason they're so good,
you're writing a book,
and they don't, and so I don't have a staff.
Oh.
So you know, if I want to make the cornbread 35 times, oh my gosh, it's tedious.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we need people.
We need people. We need to be able to say, talk to my people about
my mom
that.
Always had people for everything. How come I don't have people?
I don't know.
I got Dale.
Sometimes we've gone horribly wrong. Oh my gosh. Well, our husbands are in their own category. They don't have to share the title with anybody. They're special.
Special.
They're totally special. So anyway, you found a shrimp recipe.
Yeah. So I had five of Ina Garten's cookbooks that I've, you know, just somehow acquired over the years. And then I thought, I like her stuff so much, I just bought the others. So now I have all of her cookbooks, and I was reading through all of them. And she has this method for cooking shrimp. So it's for a shrimp salad and a tarragon shrimp salad. So what she says is you take a pot that is 8 inches across and 5 inches high. I just happen to have that. It was 4.5 inches high, but I thought that was fine. So the size of the pot matters. And then you put 2 pounds of shrimp in it, and it's thawed shrimp. And I'm not lying, even though I choked.
Does choking indicate that? I don't know.
You put in 2 pounds of shrimp, and then 8 cups of cold water and a tablespoon of salt. But always her recipes are a little salty for me, so I thought, I don't know. So I put like 2 teaspoons of salt in there. And then So you've got 8 cups of water in a specific size pan, 2 pounds of shrimp, and then, and the water's cold, you turn it on to medium-high heat, and then uncovered, you stir it occasionally for 8 to 10 minutes, and that doesn't sound like it's helpful because it's a range, but it's because different stoves are different. And you have to, like, stir it occasionally, not like, you know, whee, you know, wreck the shrimp, but just move the stuff on the bottom to the top because it's hotter on the bottom, and then it totally works. The shrimp is very tender, and it's not raw on the inside, and it's not chewy, and it's a slow enough method that you can't, like, race past the point that it's okay. And for somebody like me, I'm allergic to shellfish, so I can't try it, you know?
Yes.
It's a very specific method that really, really worked. I think with my stove, it went just a little bit longer than 10 minutes, but you can see everything starts turning pink and everything curls up slowly, and then it's done. It was just really, I thought it was a really good method. And she said she got it from some restaurant tour that I didn't recognize in the Hamptons because I don't have a house there.
But imagine.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting to get one. Dale, put it on the list.
It's got to be on your grocery list.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
If it's not on the grocery list, yeah, it won't get done. So I'm curious to know about the once you do the shrimp, about the shrimp salad, what kind of dressing?
You know, it was just really simple. I think it was mayonnaise, tarragon, salt and pepper, and lemon juice, and maybe a little olive oil, if I remember right.
Yeah.
But just that, and then celery, I think, maybe some onions.
See, that would make a great po' boy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
Yeah. Yum.
Yeah.
And but we just, have really tiger prawns, don't we? Spot prawns are the ones that are local.
Oh, see, I have don't know a thing about them. I feel stupid.
Well, really?
Because
that's all it takes to make you feel stupid? Come on.
No, I don't know.
Make us try harder.
Think about that stuff.
Well,
we should have a whole episode where we only use big words.
Oh, we could do that, but I need notes.
I do too.
We could do
that. I gotta know ahead of time.
Definitely.
I'm gonna practice superfluous. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Well, there's probably endless culinary terms that would qualify for that.
Yeah.
Like culinary.
Yeah, they're bing. Epicurious.
Oh yeah. We'll plan.
Yeah. We'll put it on our list.
Let's put it on our list.
Along with our house in the Hamptons.
I have no desire for a house in the Hamptons. No insult intended to anyone who loves the Hamptons.
Oh, no. I just keep forgetting to get a house there.
Yeah, right. And we have all that money laying around waiting.
Oh, here comes the big word. What do you have planned in the offing?
In the offing.
In the offing. I say it with my teeth together like Thurston Howell the Third.
I know. We need to be wearing our tennis whites. Is that a serious question?
Yeah. What, do you have anything? I mean, I make an Irish stew tonight. I don't have anything planned past that.
I don't either. I thought I have a kielbasa that I have from Olympia Provisions, and I haven't tried their kielbasa.
No, I didn't even know they had it.
Well, I didn't either, but they do.
Okay.
And it is available locally at, you know, the membership store. And I want to try that.
Okay.
So that's somewhere on my future.
Speaking of stores, I heard that the co-op broke ground.
Yes.
Isn't that exciting?
It's very exciting. It's incredibly exciting. And I didn't get to go. Did you?
Nope.
But I suspect that there's a hole in the ground now. I mean, isn't that what... That's what breaking ground is all about.
I always think it's so funny when they do it and they got their little clean shovels.
Well, yeah, and hard
shovels.
Hats. And hard hats.
I know.
Well, listen, it's a ceremonial.
Yes. Yeah. But what would that hat protect you from?
Well, birds.
Oh, that's true. Down there, that's true.
I guess. But I think, you know, it's ceremonial. They wear their clean, hard hats.
Yeah. And their clean, brand new shovels.
Yeah, no, it's great.
But that's exciting.
I'm so excited. I'm really excited. I think that this is a big darn deal for our community.
Yeah.
Have a big, brand new store.
It's like 3 times bigger, isn't it?
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, really like... space age things like a loading dock. Never had that before. Yeah, I know. Really, no expense has been spared.
So in this town of 10,000.
I know. A loading dock and a couple more parking spots. Fabulous. So we have that to watch as it progresses. Very exciting.
What's going on at the food web?
The food web is, well, Egg Day has gotten to be quite the big deal.
There's so many people come in.
I know, and it's because we have so much more than eggs now.
Okay.
And so every week we also have local beef from the fabulous Nehalem Valley Ranch. And we have really wonderful cheeses, cream, butter from Little Island Creamery. Then we had, last week we had three farms bringing in farm fresh eggs. And we also had Andy Catalano's fabulous breads.
Yeah, isn't, I mean, he's just like a
grains,
wizard. Yeah.
Yeah, with the fermented sourdough. Really wonderful. And our fabulous forage and farm folks brought, brought black truffles.
Oh, wow.
And white truffles.
Wow.
And watercress.
I had no idea.
Well, I'm saying, and fresh herbs. So we had a really wonderful and fragrant.
Yeah, spectacular.
Yeah, Egg Day. So if you would like to come check out Egg Day, we also are usually sampling something lovely like local brie and the local butter. And Burns Bright Cannery brings their wonderful jams and preserves. Anyway, 9 to 4 every Thursday, North Coast Food Web. On 18th in downtown Astoria between Exchange and Franklin. Pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
You can always go to northcoastfoodweb.org and remind yourself of that. But yeah, it's been good. And I'm there all day, so I, you know, end up eating a lot of crackers with jam and butter.
I call it lunch.
It's all day lunch.
Isn't David Weber going to teach a gumbo, or is it a jambalaya class?
Well,
gumbo
he's going class? To be teaching some Cajun cooking.
Yeah.
And I think that he and Wendy are still working out the details of what that might be, because the classes don't go on forever, and some of those things take a long time to cook.
Yeah.
So they'll come up with something wonderful, but I believe that that's going on the calendar really soon. And
that's exciting.
Yeah, very, very. So, yeah, cooking classes and food eating.
Yeah, yeah. When I ordered from that Single Origin spice store, he ordered some black lime. Do you have any idea what that's used for?
You mean like citrus lime, or you mean like something you would put on the playing field?
I have no idea. He got like a pound of it.
Whoa.
But I didn't open it up because it's sealed, but I just wondered. I have no idea what you would use it for.
Maybe it is for the playing field in that kind of quantity.
It looks like coarse ground black pepper.
Oh, really?
But not with the white part, but it's about that size. I wonder if they like preserve lime peels and then grind them up or something. I got to read up on it before I talk about it on the radio. Dirty, 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 dirty.
One thing we're sure it's quite delicious given, you know, that assuming that you eat it.
Well, yes, yes.
Ay, ay, ay.
Anything else I don't know anything about that you want to talk about?
Let me think. The list is endless, really, seriously.
Crab.
Man. Crab.
Oh, no, but I heard something interesting on the television. It might have been on the internet. They're kind of the same, maybe. They got a screen.
Yeah.
But what it was somebody was making, I think it was like that show Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Somebody was making like lox, you know, like cured salmon.
Yeah.
And they said if you don't use kosher salt, if you use table salt, it turns gray.
Really?
I'd never heard that, but isn't that bizarre that if you're doing it, you have to use kosher salt, that table salt won't work?
Because table salt has iodine, does it not?
Would that turn it gray? Well, I mean, I have no idea why it would turn gray, but isn't that interesting information?
Yeah.
Huh.
It is. I don't know that I even have any table salt.
I think I do, and the reason is because I freaked out when Fukushima blew up and I wanted to make sure that I had iodine. that my thyroid was loaded with iodine, so I didn't suck all that cesium, whatever iodine stuff that I just it was on the internet way too much when that happened.
Oh my gosh. I kind of love that story.
I even bought a Geiger counter. Poor Dale.
How many Geigers have you counted so far?
Well, I did learn that brick in your house is always radioactive. I had no idea. So the most radioactive part of our house is the chimney going up and down the basement.
Stay away from that.
Or just stay away from the internet. Why don't I learn?
We need those lead aprons they use at the dentist's office. Hey, it's 10 o'clock, and I would think that if you were on the other end of the radio, you might be thinking none too soon. It's 10 o'clock, and I'm here to remind you that you're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, streaming at coastradio.org and on your mobile using the TuneIn app. Linda Perkins, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary Ann.